Hello, and welcome back to Juniper's Cabinet of Curiosities. I'm Juniper Rain, and I have a story I want to tell you. Today's story is a story about the most haunting house on the block. So lock your doors and let's dive in. At the end of a street called Billerly Lane sat a house or a dwelling. Not a home by any name. While all other houses looked just the same, this one was dreary, dull, and plain. An old man once lived there. No one's sure what remains. Let's go on a trip to the house at the end of Billerly Lane. Come on, you're not scared of a little house, are you? Liana teased, smacking Corey's arm. They say the man who lived there ate kids, man. Besides, that's far from a little house, Corey replied, shaking his brown hair into place. Nah, man, that's ridiculous. I heard that he performed illegal abortions in the basement. No one's ever been brave enough to go that far in. Their friend Derek chimed in from across the lunch table. They say that if you stand in the living room at night, you'll hear tiny footsteps, and sometimes even babies crying. Tiffany, Derek's girlfriend, added in.
My parents are out of town tonight, Derek chimed in. What if I dared you guys?
Come on, Corey, we could all stay at Derek's tonight, Leanna insinuated. The group continued to laugh. With a playful smirk and eyebrows raised, Tiffany leaned in closer and said, "Come on, guys. Halloween is in a couple of weeks. Let's do something spooky." The day went on, and as the last bell struck, Corey's anxiety continued to bottle up. He walked through the hallways, trembling in fear, till he heard his friend behind his left ear.
Bro! Tiffany stole some beer from her brother's fridge. Liquid courage before the house tonight. Derek hyped, placing his arm around Corey. Corey chuckled nervously. sure. Why not, bro? He caved. Hey, Liana will think you're so brave and strong after this. My parents are out of town all weekend. Think of the possibilities, man. Derek drew out his words, tracing them with the palm of his hand from one side of their view to the other. Corey put his fear aside, for the power of teenage enthusiasm was stronger than all of his worries combined. After the bell released them for the weekend, our quad of friends met by the owl statue at the hall's end. The two sets of lovebirds walked one in front of the other to the house of Derek, though this weekend not the house of his father or mother. They walked through the doors, glass and wide. Corey's fear began to sink back inside. As they made their calls, they drank the first beer and began to make plans for a night filled with fear. They put on some music, laughed, and even smoked, the weed from Derek's brother's hidden stash drawer. They thought of all the things that lied ahead, like skeletons in the closet or bodies under the bed.
Maybe the basement has jars of his procedures, Derek suggested.
Maybe it still has his makeshift hospital set up, Tiffany declared.
There's probably still blood on it, Derek added.
Gross! Corey's stomach churned.
Corey was quiet, well-mannered, and pure. He had no interest in the grotesque things lurking there. He did not feel brave. He felt twitchy and anxious. He was so scared he wanted to slam his head against the pavement. The four friends continued with their drinking and laughing. While at the house on Billerly Lane, something was happening. With windows boarded up, dim and dreary, nightfall came with something eerie. A glow from the basement window through gaps in boards so thin, something in the house lurking within. The fearsome foursome double-checked their lights, set their notification to silent, and began their plight. A chill in the air and moon in the sky, four friends set forth, hoping for fascination and fright.
Shouldn't we record this? Tiffany asked with a slur in her voice.
Everyone knows ghosts don't like cameras, babe, Derek replied. We're more likely to see something if we don't.
Fine, but if Old Man Weirdo has a basement full of makeshift medical supplies, the first thing I'm doing is taking a picture.
How do we know he doesn't still live there anyways? Corey questioned with a shake in his voice.
Please, that house has been abandoned since before we were born.
But all the stories about the light in the basement, if there's a light, somebody's keeping on the power. Corey questioned again.
Ghosts don't need power to turn on a light, Cor.
Tiffany returned.
I'm just saying, guys, there are things scarier than ghosts that could be in there, Corey shrugged.
Oh, yeah? Derek laughed.
Yeah, man! Like still water or creepy old men with shotguns.
Brain-eating amoeba,
Leanna joked, putting her hands up to Corey like claws.
I'm serious, guys, or someone could call the cops.
Corey, you need to calm down, bro. Your dad's a lawyer. Plus, no one cares about old Billerly Lane, Derek urged.
I guess you're right. Corey looked down at the pavement.
Leanna grabbed Corey's hand and held it tight. Little did he know, this was just the start of the frights. 8 feet crunching on leaves, down the sidewalk, all the way to the end of the street. In front of the house they stood, admiring the peeling paint and chipping wood, tattered curtains in the attic window, the door taped off, but not disassembled. The four joined hands, interlocked at the fingers, and walked their way up 3 stairs, disconfigured. A broken porch swing off to the left. Off to the right, a barrel of something unsaid. Derek went first to the door, standing tall and wide. He knocked 3 times just in case someone were inside. Several moments of silence and no one appeared. It seemed that the house had truly been abandoned for years. Taking a knife from his pocket, careful and swift, he cut through the tape, yellow and thin. With one hand on the door and one in Tiff's, he pushed it, somehow heavy and thin. The door opened fast with a gust of cold air. Gasps of surprise filled the foyer.
We did it!
Tiffany exhaled while Corey filled with more fear. They walked through the threshold of the door, so quiet, to a Victorian sight with chandeliers and a staircase of might. Derek walked over to a switch colored white, tried to flick it on, and said, "See, there's no lights." Now they were free to explore all through the night, no living souls to interrupt their good frights.
"Should we go upstairs?" asked Tiff with haste.
"Let's go right to the basement. Everyone will think we're legends for that," returned Derek.
The group nodded to one another, excited to test their fate, and headed to the kitchen to find the door to the basement right as the clock struck 8. The door was lean, crooked, and easily unseen. This time Corey turned the silver handle to seem brave and mean. The door opened slow with a creak and a crack. Everyone stepped just a few inches back. Cobwebs were laced from one side to the next, a stench of stale laundry, mildew, but not death. Derek led first with his flashlight in hand, Tiff followed behind, with Leanna and Corey at the end. Corey left the door open, just a crack, to ensure that they had a way of getting back. Corey trembled and even Derek felt fear, but they had to stay strong for the pretty girls that were near. The stairs creaked with age as the group tried not to fall. The last thing they needed was to be stranded, for no one had knowledge of them being here at all. When they reached the bottom and had a look around, they saw the basement was empty. Nothing but a few boxes on the ground. A closet sat on the far end, door locked from outside. A key dangled beside, offering to show them what's inside.
"There it is," exclaimed Tiffany. "The closet of his experiments and procedures."
"I dare you, Corey."
Derek raised his eyebrows and said, Corey walked from where he was standing and reached up for the key on a cord so thin it was covered in dust and rust on the end. Corey's hand shook as he twisted the key in the lock. Something inside made a noise and then filled him with shock.
"Did you guys hear that?"
Corey asked nervously.
"Open it," Tiff urged. "Maybe one's still alive."
Corey reached out to the handle of brass, turned it quick, and opened it at last. The door flung open fast and wide. All the contents spilled out, knocking Corey aside. The four friends screamed aloud for all to hear, for in the closet was exactly what they had feared. Boxes of white, blue, and pink, sounds of babies crying, the group's insanity on the brink. Little heads rolled off of shoulders, tiny pajamas and diapers scattered all over. Derek pulled Corey up, covered in fear. Tiffany called out, "It's true! The man! The babies are still here!" The group grabbed their lights and ran out of sight, back out of the house and into the safety of night. They didn't say a word all the way home, everyone too afraid to admit the path they'd just sown. And when they were all safe in Derek's house, Corey slipped into the bathroom, quiet as a mouse.
911, what is your emergency?
"Hi, I'd like to make an anonymous report. The last house, on Billerly Lane, there are bodies in the basement," Corey whispered.
"Sir, what do you mean?"
the female asked.
"Sir, can you tell me more about the bodies?"
"The old man did it. I have to go."
Corey hung up the phone, flushed the toilet, and washed his hands to cover his tracks from the call he just made. Minutes later, sirens came racing past Derek's house, down Billerly Lane, stopped at the old house. Neighbors came out, nosy and in fear. Police went inside for just a few minutes before they reappeared.
"It's just dolls, everyone. Just a Halloween prank. Go back in your homes, there's nothing to see here,"
an officer yelled, holding a little baby doll with blonde hair in his hands.
"I'm taking this one home for my daughter," he said.
All the officers went back to their cars, certain that a prankster was the only thing at large. But what is unknown is what is unseen. Good thing they didn't check the attic, or else no one would get sleep. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode, The Last House on Billerly Lane, Part 1. I hope you enjoyed it. Part 2 will be available on November 8th for all followers, or on Patreon as a bonus episode on Halloween. This week, I have decided to leave the drawing up to you. Take a listen to this week's episode, then submit your drawings via email to juniperscabinet@gmail.com. The winner will be decided on October 29th and will be posted with part 2 that is airing October 31st for Patreon subscribers or in November on other platforms. The winner will get exclusive early access to part 2 of the story and a special chat with me to talk about the story and answer any questions that you may have to really bring the drawing to life. I will still be back next Friday, October 25th, with a new story to share. And this one is another creature feature. This episode was written by Juniper Gallegos with help from my wife, and this topic was inspired by a friend. All music is thanks to Fesslian Studios and is linked and credited in the show notes. See you next Friday, and stay safe and spooky.